Have you ever noticed that during the summer it's easy to get your days mixed up? We had VBS last week, Monday through Thursday, and each day kind of felt the same as the one before. And you wonder, well, what is today? Then I took Friday off, and I thought it was Saturday all day long. But you never have that problem on the Lord's Day. Sunday just has a different feel to it, a special feeling. You always know when it's the Lord's Day. And I thank you for making this a special Lord's Day for me. By your presence today, by your interest in worshiping God, and your devotion to the Word of God. This is a special day because it's the Lord's Day. And we will rejoice as we share it together. I want to read a passage from Mark chapter 10. It's a passage that was on my mind all this past week during vacation Bible school. And I want us to read it together. In Mark the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16. I want to invite your attention as we read from the Word of God, as you follow along in your Bible. Mark 10, verse 13, beginning. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. This is one of my favorite pictures of Jesus in my mind when I think of the scene here of Jesus, the Son of God, stooping down and taking children into his arms, holding them and embracing them, because I can see him doing that for our children. I can see Jesus holding in his arms Kinley and Finley and Lindley and Brindley. I practice that. But to think about Jesus that way, that yes, he loves the little children. They're all precious in his sight. It was apparently a picture that made an impression on the gospel writers, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event. But it also captured the attention of Jesus' apostles in a different way. This happened when they were across the Jordan. They were beyond Judea. Sometimes it's referred to as Jesus' Perean ministry. And people in this area, maybe thinking they wouldn't have other opportunities to see Jesus again, started bringing their children to him. Luke says even their babies they brought to Jesus for blessing, that he might touch them and pray for them. There doesn't seem to be any miraculous thing involved here, but more like a patriarch who would bless his children before he died. But it says that the Jesus' disciples rebuked them for doing that. They're bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples say, "Stop, don't do that." You have to wonder, were they protecting Jesus? He doesn't have time for that. He's too important to be bothered with children. Or were they protecting themselves? We're the only ones who are supposed to have this special access to Jesus. We're the only ones whom he's supposed to give his intimate attention to. But for whatever reason, we have an instance where Jesus showed a righteous indignation. That's what Mark says. He became indignant. Word that expresses strong, deep emotion. And notice how he rebuked his disciples. "Permit the children to come to me. Allow the children to come, one version has. The King James says, suffer the little children. And when you think of little children, suffering comes to mind. But suffer, allow them to come to me, because that's what the kingdom is all about. You're trying to prevent them from coming to me, but I want you to know, if you don't become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom at all. This is just another way that Jesus turned the tables on what was conventional thinking. You want to be first? Well, then you put yourself last. You want to be the greatest of all? Then be the servant of all. You want to be a citizen of God's kingdom? Become like a little child. Like a little child. That's what Bruce prayed for this past week during VBS. He thanked God for the children, and then he said, help us become like them. Here we have all these children who've come to be taught at Vacation Bible School. You know what Jesus said? You better start learning from them. You better watch them and become like them, because if you don't, you can't be a part of my kingdom. So I want to invite you this morning, if you've not done so already, to start your second childhood, to become like little children. In other words, as we grow and mature, we must make certain that we never grow out of these qualities. As we grow up, let's don't grow out of, first of all, things like humility. When you think of a little child, you think of humility. In children, there is no power struggle. There's no selfish or personal ambition to be somebody. They are humble. And this seems to be Jesus' main point about becoming like children. They're trying to prevent children from coming to him because he's too important or he's too busy, and he wants them to know, you're going to have to humble yourselves and become like children. Keep your place here, but look back to Matthew chapter 18 and notice where Jesus uses that word in describing children on this occasion. Matthew chapter 18 at verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children in Jesus' day were seen as nobodies. I suppose that is still prevalent in some parts of our culture. People still talk about children ought to be seen and not heard. Why? Because they don't have much things important to say. They're just children. What do they know? And even later, when Jesus in Matthew 18 told the parable of the unmerciful servant, remember, the one servant put the fellow servant in jail and said his wife and his children are to be sold until his debt is paid. They were just seen as property, bought and sold in the marketplace. The disciples, they want to be someone great. Who is the greatest? And Jesus said, you're going to have to be converted You're going to have to reverse your course. You're going in the wrong direction. Because if you want to be part of my kingdom, you're going to have to be the least. You're going to have to be unimportant. You're going to have to consider yourself a nobody. You see, when you grow out of humility, when you start wanting to be great, I want to make a name for myself. I want to be important. I want to be somebody. Well, the Lord's going to get in your way on that journey. Because if I want to make my company great, if I want to build this business, well, what's going to happen when it's time to assemble with the Lord's people? And I just don't have time. If I want to be known and have some status in this world, well, what's going to happen when that requires me to participate in things that the Lord said, you better stay away from that? See, I cease to be humble. I cease to think more about what God thinks and more about what I want. And so Jesus said, you humble yourself like a little child. You rid yourself of all that ambition and personal drive and submit yourself to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. And when you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you at the proper time. As you grow up, don't grow out of humility. It's how we become like little children. As you grow up, don't grow out of trust. When you think of a child, you think of one who trusts. I remember when people would ask me how old my children were, and I would tell them things like, well, I've got 2 and 1 who's 5, or 4 and 7. Usually the reply would come something like this: oh, well, your kids are still the age where they think daddy can do anything. And you remember those days when you were a kid? I mean, it didn't matter what the difficulty was or what was scaring you. Dad'll take care of it. Dad'll protect me. And so we had this trust when we were hurt, when we were happy, when we were sad, when we were afraid. We trusted. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Does that leave anything out? Does that mean there's anything that you don't trust in Him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Well, what happens as we grow up? We quit trusting in the Lord and start trusting in ourselves. What can I do about this? What will I do to help this situation? How will I fix my own problems? Become like a little child and trust in the Lord. Back in Mark chapter 10, I want you to see what Jesus said as he, after this conversation about little children, comes the rich young ruler. And Jesus teaches him about the danger of wealth and it distracting him from entering the kingdom. And the disciples in verse 23 were astonished at this teaching. They were convinced that the rich people had the blessings from God, and surely they were the ones who were going to be saved. And so they asked the question, Lord, if it is this way in verse 26, then who can be saved? This seems impossible. And looking unto them in verse 27, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. You know what that says? Your Father can do anything. And that's what these little children taught me last week. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's unyielding trust. Like a child who raises his arms to his father, looking for help, security, comfort. So the children of God trust in God our Father. Well, what about when we get this diagnosis? There's nothing my God cannot do. Well, what about this difficulty that comes upon our family? There's nothing my God cannot do. Well, what about this doubt that I have? There's nothing my God cannot do. Well, what if I don't know what to do? There's nothing my God cannot do. As you grow up, don't grow out of trust. You don't trust in yourself and your own ability and your own power. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will make your paths straight. As we grow up, we should not grow out of our innocence. You think of a child, you think of innocence. Our memory verse this past week at Vacation Bible School was Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal. Jonathan asked the kids, well, what's the goal? Lucas Buckmiller raised his hand and said, it's the thing you kick the ball in to score points. Well, don't you wish that we all had that same honesty and innocence about us? We did. In the child, there is no prejudice. They don't sit down to play with someone and say, well, you don't make enough money, or you're this color, or you're from this part of the world. It's none of that in the heart of a child. No lust, no evil thoughts, no hatred. Where do these things come from? They come from what we're exposed to. We learn them. And as careful as we are to protect our children, what they hear, what they see, isn't it time we start protecting our own self so that we can be as what Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. Innocent in what is evil. The word innocent there means unmixed, unadulterated. Teacher in first grade was trying to gauge the perception of her students. And so she gave them the first half of some well-known sayings. And she wanted them to complete the other half. And so she had on one side of the paper a penny saved is, and one of them put, not much. And then she had, you can't teach an old dog, and one of them put, math. If at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. Well, that's just an honest, innocent heart. That's one that's not adulterated or mixed. As you grow up, don't grow out of that. When Jesus sent the apostles out into the world, he said, I want you to be shrewd as serpents, yes, but as innocent as doves, Matthew 10 and verse 16. Innocent in what is evil. Why? Because we protected ourselves. Those things of the world that would harden our heart, we've kept those far from us. We've shut our ears and we've covered our eyes to maintain our innocence. As you grow up, don't grow out of your innocence. Become like a little child. And then finally, as you grow up, don't grow out of contentment. When you think of a child, you think of humility. When you think of a child, you think of trust and innocence. But you think of contentment. A child who is satisfied with just the simple things of life. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8. Back in 1999, Melissa and I went to Jamaica with David and Flora Tant and a group of about 13 people. And we came into firsthand experience with people who about all they had was food and covering. Third world country. And our purpose that week was to do a vacation Bible school during the day, and then the men would preach at night. And here were kids out in the countryside who didn't have transportation. And so we had rented this huge 15-passenger van. We were going to go pick up kids to take them to vacation Bible school. And I remember on the first day, still in culture shock, I was thinking we'd be in these resorts in nice places, and here we are, and people lived in houses that were made of cardboard and newspaper, and the dirt was the floor. And we rounded the first corner to go pick up a group of kids to take them to class. And there were about 35 or 40 of them standing there waiting. And as soon as they saw the white van turn the corner, they started jumping up and down. Happiest kids you'd ever seen. But they were going to VBS. Contentment. Food and covering was all they had. But they were contented. We grow out of that. Our needs become our wants. I want this, or I want more of that. And when we do that, we cease to be like little children, who even in saying simple things show their contentment in their station of life. When they say, thank you, or I'm sorry, or I love you. They're content. As you grow up, don't grow out of being contented with the simple things of life. Be like a little child. They're precious in Jesus' sight. And so Jesus took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. These would be the same arms that not many days later would be stretched out and nailed to a cross. Why would he do that? Because he wanted to give opportunity for all men and women to become children of God, sons and daughters of the Father in heaven. Do you know what the alternative is? Children of the devil, sons of disobedience. Which are you today? Only one kind of child can enter into the kingdom of God. Would you become like a child today? Would you, by humbling yourself this morning, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone? Would you have your sins washed away that you can begin a new life, sinless and innocent? And would you be contented in knowing that if everything else in life was taken away, you found the secret of knowing Christ, your Lord? We want to give you that opportunity this morning to come to the Father. Right now, while we stand, while we sit.